Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are at the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars heading into week three of the preseason, coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday night here at Everbank. But another strong outing by the starters last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We didn't have 5 million penalties.
13.
Close to 5 million.
13.
Offensively, you're 2 for 2. As far as outings with the first unit, they dictated pace. They did whatever they wanted to. And that's against a good defense for the Buccaneers. Now, they didn't have Gerald McCoy, but I don't think it would have mattered. I have full confidence in A.J. Candleblock. Gerald McCoy did it last year as a rookie, and he's been fine this year. I've continued to be impressed. The run game's outstanding. Offensive line played great. Receivers are dynamic. Blake was a little off, in my opinion, as far as accuracy. A couple of balls sailed on him a little bit. And you know, A-Rob bailed him out a couple times and some nice catches. But his decision-making was awesome. His control, his playmaking ability, scrambling. He continues to have a great preseason. Luke Joeckel was the best I've seen Luke Joeckel play.
Gus Bradley said it's his most physical game as a Jaguar.
It was great. Best I've seen him play. Technique-wise, nastiness-wise, throwing guys around, knocking people on the ground, firm in the pass rush. I thought Luke Joeckel played outstanding football.
I agree with you, Tony. I thought he's quieted a bunch of fans in the last couple of weeks. So that begs the question, do you keep him at left tackle?
I don't think they will. I think you got to get your 5 best guys out there. And don't you think Kelvin Beachum's one of your 5 best offensive linemen still?
But couldn't he play guard too? Yeah, I know he hadn't worked there, but he could.
He could. I think Luke would be a better guard than Kelvin Beachum. I think Luke's more powerful.
I tend to agree with you. But again, he's showed that he can be the left tackle if need be.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Played outstanding. Played really, really well. Now he's got to build on it, and I'm excited to see what it looks like with him and Kelvin out there. My assumption is that's how we'll start the game against Cincinnati with Kelvin left and Luke at left guard, and I'm looking forward to seeing that against a very good Cincinnati team. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show, obviously. But offensively, I mean, I don't know what else you say. I mean, the only criticism is, where's 80? And he wasn't involved in the game at all, but that's all right. I mean, they only had 3 series, really 2, at 3 and out early. And so, I mean, when I say criticism, it's not even a criticism. It's the only thing that you didn't see. But the passing game, the run game was outstanding. Man, Marquise Lee, I know he had 1 catch, but what a big third down and showing some, you know, grit and smarts of understanding where he was on the field to get the first down. Chris Ivory, Yeldon, I mean, what else you want to say? I mean, there's nothing negative. And I'll tell you, the other thing that was fun to watch that most fans probably didn't watch was Brandon Linder. Pete, did you watch the All-22?
I don't have the All-22 online. No, I didn't.
Oh,
was he really? He looked really good on the TV tape. I can tell you that.
Brandon Linder is going to be was dominant. He is going to be if he continues to play that way, he has the opportunity to be an All-Pro center. I mean, he was dominant. He is a powerful dude, strong. I mean, he latches on to guys, run blocking, pass. I mean, it was impressive.
Their supposedly weak offensive line will not be a supposedly weak offensive line. I'm convinced of that. I think I'm with you. I think Linder, not this year, next year he'll be an All-Pro. I think Cam is really good. I think, you know, Parnell is a tough guy at the right tackle and good player. The left guard, if it's Joeckel, they'll be fine there, and then Beach will be the left tackle. That weak offensive line is not a weak offensive line. They ended up being a pretty good offensive line.
Pete, where are you tonight, by the way?
I am home. Because I couldn't drive today because I had a scope and a colonoscopy, if you can believe that.
Oh, so, how'd that feel?
Well, my voice is raspy because I had a tube in my throat, so that tells you all about that. But that's where I am tonight.
I take it all the tests came back good?
Yeah.
Good. There you have it. So we hate we missed you in the studio.
I'm glad that it came back. You know why I'm glad the test came back okay, Pete?
Why that?
Because I can be mean to you and make fun of you. If something's wrong, then I gotta be nice to you and act like, you know, I care and all that, you know, garbage. It's not as fun.
Well, I'm not 100%, but let's put it this way: the test came back very good.
Are you gonna die like this week?
No.
Okay, fine.
Not that I know.
Then I'll make fun of you.
I might die of some of your dumb takes tonight, but other than that, no.
My hot takes.
Hot takes.
Hot takes.
Pretty soon you're gonna be predicted 14-2.
No. I do get
reminded. 'Cause I know how you go. You're getting carried away already.
He was pretty close the other night.
How am I getting carried away, Pete? What have I gotten carried away with? What have I said tonight that is not 100% accurate? You going, doesn't answer the question.
You defended Dante Fowler for being a no-show for two games.
I did not. I said he's been a no-show, but I mean, am I wrong?
He was a no-show. In the practice I watched last week against the Bucks, he was a no-show.
Am I wrong in saying that young pass rushers go through spells where they struggle to figure it out?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So that's what I said.
Look, I'm with you. I think he's going to be a hell of a pass rusher. But it is concerning that you haven't seen him in the first 2 weeks. And I know there was one. Why'd they drop him in coverage on one play? Please stop that. That's just dumb.
Well, they had a overload blitz to the other side and teams like
now
all
you're
the time.
Overthinking it. Now you're overthinking it.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
So you don't want to overload blitz the side?
I don't mind overload blitz. Don't drop that guy out.
Who are you gonna
drop somebody else out.
Who are you going to drop? That's what
the
Leo does.
Drop one of the defensive linemen out.
He is a defensive lineman.
One of the inside defensive linemen. It's just dumb. Don't drop him out. He's the best pass rusher. He's supposedly the best pass rusher and a dominant pass rusher. It's just like when Von Miller drops. I'm not a big fan of that either.
Yeah, Denver. That Denver defense. Wade Phillips, he doesn't know what the heck he's doing. He's clueless. You should call Wade and say, Wade, you know, I just think you and your Super Bowl ring and your top-ranked defense and all the accolades and all the great defenses you coach, you don't know. I write for CBS, and don't ever drop that guy. No more overload blitzes.
You know what, though, Tony? It's not X's and O's. It's Jimmy and Joe's. You give me Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, and Malik Jackson in those corners, and I'll coordinate you a defense that'll be damn good, too.
So, okay, wait a second now. So we went from you telling Wade Phillips what to do, and now you are on the record of saying that you could do just as good a job coordinating that defense as Wade Phillips.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't say that at all. I said I could have a good defense. They had a great defense.
So you could have a top 10 defense?
Maybe give me some good assistance. It's not that complicated. It's football, Tony. It's not that complicated.
All right, Pete.
You think it's complicated?
I think it's more complicated than you're making out to be, coordinating the defense, making sure everything's, you know, sound and gaps.
Defending the dropping Dante Fowler in the coverage.
They did it
when
once.
You're trying to get,
yes,
when you're,
one time.
Well,
I don't think
off,
it matters.
Here's another thing. I could see during the regular season if he had been like a guy that's getting sacks and everything, maybe you drop him out once in a while to fool him. But aren't you trying to make him a pass rusher who can get to the quarterback?
My bigger critique would be, why are you only giving him two series when he needs all the reps he can rushing the passer?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would have kept him in on not first and second down, but probably maybe for the whole first half, I would have had him on the nickel package. Give him as many pass rushes as you can. Give him some confidence. Give him reps out there. The guy has not played much football. I said it on the air during the broadcast that I disagree with that. I disagree with the game plan of getting Dante Fowler off as soon as they did. Him and Ngakoue need as many. If you're counting on those two, when Green Bay marches in here to be the pass rushers, they need more than four series the first two preseason games.
I would play those two guys almost through the entire game this week.
I'd play them the whole first half on nickel. My one nickel rushers, my outside guys would have been on the field for the first half.
And the other thing, too, is when he did rush a couple of times, he looped inside. Now, I don't mind that, but he's got to learn how to win outside first, doesn't he?
Like I said, I'd give him a lot of reps, Pete.
He gets a break a little bit this week because the right tackle situation in Cincinnati is not very good. Ogbui is out, and then they lost the other kid, Fisher, the backup, so Eric Winston will be the right tackle. Now, he's a scrappy veteran, but that helps whoever's rushing from that side.
Come see the Jags face the Bengals in preseason week 3, Sunday night at 8 o'clock. It's the dress rehearsal game and the best look at the Jags starters before the regular season. For tickets, visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. We'll come back and break down Blake Bortles' preseason so far. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco is on the phone with us tonight.
Senior is the key word. He's
old.
Yeah, you're old.
And you know what? I hope I'm 100 years old sitting on a couch complaining about bad quarterback play.
Well, you can't complain about that in Jacksonville right now.
Not at all.
No, you were a little nitpicky with him this week, Tony.
You said he wasn't sharp this week, you said.
I thought a couple balls sailed on him. Go look at the
first. I thought so, too, but I see, to
the
me,
first
it's
one to, the first one to Marquise Lee was 10 feet over his head. On the dig route, deep end.
Yeah, and the one on the sideline of Robinson was high, and Robinson went up and got it.
So the first, no, then on second and short, it was a high one on a hitch. A-Rob had to go up high and catch it. And then on the deep out, in the second quarter, it was high and outside, and A-Rob went and caught it. I'm the biggest Blake Bortles fan there is, but, my guess is if you asked him how to go, it's like, couple balls sailed on me.
Yeah, but see, for me, and this is how I evaluate a quarterback, one of the things that he had to get better at was when he went back in the pocket and scanned down the field and didn't see what he wanted, he had to have the check down available, and he got the check down for a touchdown. That, to me, was a big boy play there, okay? But then the next one was even better because he opened to the left. He knew he had one-on-one on the right. He was going over there. He pump faked. He came back. And his feet weren't great. I mean, that's the amazing thing about it. They weren't great. He was kind of off balance, but he threw a rocket into his arms over the top of the defensive back. Those are two big boy NFL thinking quarterback plays by Blake Bortles. You know, the other stuff, you know, the high balls and stuff, he'll figure that. That'll all come.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying it's like the end of the world. Now, you know why else you can make those big boy plays and you can sit back there and scan and check down and do all those amazing things he did? Because he had a clean pocket.
Yeah, he did. He really did. He had clean.
I don't think he ever got hit.
But the flip side is Jameis Winston had a clean pocket for a lot of the night, and his guys weren't open.
Well, we'll get to the defense in a second. The coverage was outstanding by the Jaguars. You know, I agree with you on the touchdown to Hearns was a great play, Pete. The other one I really thought was just vintage Blake Bortles is on a third down on that same drive. He wanted the great coverage. He wanted to hit A-Rob or Julius on a little hitches in the middle of the field, and they're both were covered up, and there was nobody open. And so he scrambles to his left, and he had to hold the ball for a long time, and he looks over his right shoulder to see how far away the end is who's chasing him. And then he scans immediately back downfield and finds Allen Robinson for a first down. Great play.
Yeah, I think he – and for me, it's all – and I said it last week. For him, it's all about decision-making and growing up and decision-making. You know, he's great outside the concepts of the offense. There's no doubt. He keeps his head up. He gets outside. He makes plays. He did that all last year. But making him within the offense, that's the most important thing, and I saw that the other night. So I think he's taking major steps forward.
Where does he rank right now amongst the pantheon of young quarterbacks?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody about last week on the practice field, who would you rather have, Winston or Bortles? And I think Winston is better right now at the line of scrimmage and stuff, but Blake is better at improvising and making plays. In other words, one, he plays like Favre sometimes, Bortles. You know, even that throw in the back of the end zone is didn't set his feet, but fired a rocket. Didn't look pretty, but it got there. Same with, you know, Favre used to do that, a lot of off-balance stuff, where I think Winston right now is probably a little bit ahead of him at the line of scrimmage and then pre-snap and then maybe even after the snap.
Yeah, I'm a I think Bortles is one of the – I mean, when you look at that young quarterbacking crew of the Lux and the Jameises and the Mariotas and the – you know, go down the list of those young guys. I mean, he is right there in the conversation as the upper echelon because of what he's able to do off script. And that's where he's so much like – he doesn't have the arm strength that Ben Roethlisberger does, but he has that uncanny sense of just – making stuff happen, and he's so dang competitive. I mean, I think if he can continue to grow and on the path that we've seen so far in the preseason with the decision making, he has a chance to be pretty special.
I mean, the perception around the league is Derek Carr is better than him.
Oh,
I don't
give
buy
me
that.
A break.
I agree. I think if I had to rank the young quarterback, I mean, it's Luck and then the others of the young quarterbacks. Come on, Tony. That's there. I don't care how he played last year. There were reasons for it. He was hurt and everything else. Luck is the best of that group. But then you go down and you go, Luck, and then, I mean, then it might, you know, the conversation is Bortles and Carr. They're both better than Bridgewater, I think. And then Winston's ahead of them, and then Mariota's right there. So, I think
Carr is not Carr is not as good a quarterback as Blake Bortles.
I agree, but the national perception is that Carr's better.
I mean, there's still, I mean, I was reading an article the other day about Derek Carr, and there's still a perception out there that if you pressure him, he struggles. And that's one thing I love about the guy here. You pressure him, you're not going to rattle Blake Bortles. Now, he might make some mistakes, but it's not because he's afraid or he's rattled by anything you do to him. And that's why I think that is one of the most important characteristics. You think of all the great ones, and I'm not saying Blake's a great one yet, by no means. But if you think of all the great ones, you couldn't rattle those guys. Now, they'd have bad games, and, you know, everybody get hit enough, it's going to go sideways if they don't get protection. But the great ones are never rattled by pressure or the moment or things going bad. I mean, Blake has this sense, and this is why I say all the time, he has the intangibles that are perfect for a quarterback, where maybe some of the mechanics can get better and all these other things that we nitpick about. But when it comes to the intangibles, Blake Bortles was made to play quarterback because nothing phases him. Nothing. And I think that is such an important characteristic.
I agree. If you can bounce back from your mistakes, bounce back from your bad games, that's a great trait in a quarterback. And look who threw the most interceptions in NFL history. Brett Favre.
And he still doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way you got to play quarterback. And I say it all the time. Anybody wants to throw 19 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions, he can do that in the NFL. That means you're not very good. And remember Nick Foles a couple of years ago? What did he throw, 20-3 or whatever it was, or 25 and whatever? It was, the numbers
it was
were
like
crazy.
20-2 or something like that, yeah.
And he wasn't any good. And I'll take a guy who throws 33 and 13 over that any day of the week.
By the way, week 7, that Raiders-Jaguars game, Carr versus Bortles, head-to-head right here. That should be a good matchup. Good young team.
And not only that, JP, it's to two young building franchises that are kind of following the same path playing each other. You know what I mean? So there will be a lot of eyes on that game to see who's the next team that could take the major next step and become a team that's a deep playoff team for a couple of years. You know, the guys of Seattle, that team that can stay around for a while.
Should be a fun one to watch. And, of course, all the quarterback matchups the first 4 weeks as well. We'll come back. Hey, Jalen Ramsey had a pretty good game against the Buccaneers. We'll break down his
– No more offense, huh? You're leaving the offense, about the offensive line.
We've got
the
2 hours.
Game.
We might come back to that. Yeah, but we got to get to
Tony down. Always goes back to the offensive line.
Of course,
I mean, the domination of running the ball at will whenever they wanted to.
Well, if you'd like to get back to that, we can get back to the run game as well.
Well, you kind of stick to one side of the ball and then you go to the other side.
Well, we're about to go to break and come back and talk defense. And we can get back on the offense a little later. How's that? Try to mix it up. Tony Boselli, Pete Briscoe, JP Shadrick.
I guess I'm not producing.
Yeah, just host the show. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We knew Tampa was going to make the corners tackle. Maybe unlike some other corners, I'm not ordinary. I feel like I'm the prototypical corner. That's, I'm 6'2", 210 pounds. I'm not dodging any wreck. I'm getting in there, so I knew that was part of their game plan to make the corners tackle, and I wasn't going to let my teammates or my coaches down.
Jalen Ramsey after the Buccaneers game.
I love him.
If you see the entire post-game interview, check it out on Jaguars.com. And we haven't had that kind of confidence, I think, in that position in a while around.
Well,
he,
by the way.
He talked after the game, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Because he's one of those guys that doesn't like to talk to the media, I hear.
I think that's a – that's a
no, he's
that's
just
– false.
No, that, I think what it is when he got that the knee and everything else like that, he is a confident, tell you what he thinks type of guy, and if he's not happy, he's surly and he's going to let you know.
Well, here's some advice for Jalen Ramsey, okay? You are a talented, talented football player who looks like he's going to be a future star at a position where if you're a star and you bask in the media spotlight, you will become a household name. So anybody who wants to talk to you, talk to them. Because you know why? It's going to turn into revenue. It's going to turn into endorsements. And you could become Jacksonville's Richard Sherman. So don't shy away from talking to the media.
I don't think this kid has a shy bone in his body.
Well, then talk.
Well, he did.
Wait, but he doesn't talk all the time. Why wouldn't you talk all the time?
When doesn't he talk?
Enjoy it.
Tell me one time he doesn't talk.
There was one in the locker room last week where there was a couple questions about his knee.
He doesn't want to talk about
play
his knee.
And this and that.
That's all part of it. You answer the damn question. I'm sorry. I mean, look, be smart about it. Have fun with it. Oh, my knee's fine. You know, I'm moving on. Just answer the question. But in the context of doing it all, he could become one of those mega superstars. If I was advising him and I was his agent, I'd tell him, stand there, answer all the questions, have fun with it, enjoy it, bask in it, say controversial stuff, say you're the best in the league, and people are going to start either love you or hate you, and that's how you end up becoming a mega star in the NFL.
And it definitely sounded that way after the game, that either maybe somebody got to him, but it was the best we'd heard him.
What'd he say?
Just there was 3, 4, 5 questions on Jaguars.com talking about, I want to be the greatest to ever play. I feel like, you know, the one we just heard, I want to get my nose in the wreck or whatever he said there. I mean, he's very, very confident in his ability and his length and his skill on the field. So that's him.
Yeah.
What he should say is, I'm going to be the best.
Right.
Not I'd like to be the best. Well, I'm going to be the best.
We only have a very small sample size so far, but he looked pretty dang good out there.
I think he looks fantastic. I tell you, you know, this is an old guy reference when I say Mel Blunt, because a lot of the younger generation has no earthly idea who Mel Blunt is. But Mel Blunt was a long, physical corner that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers and went to the Pro Bowl. I mean, went to the Hall of Fame. He was fantastic. And this kid is physical, long, athletic, tough, cocky, has the swagger, will tackle. There's not a lot not to like about him, and I think he might be the next – him and Allen Robinson might be the two next mega superstars from this city.
Well, if it is, that's great news because that means he's playing at a high level. I mean, listen, I mean, I thought everything he did, the only, again, nitpicking to the most nitpicky thing is on the one deep ball where he's running stride for stride, now the ball's thrown out of bounds. Just turn around and find it, you know, just in case it is thrown in bounds. I mean, that was it. His head didn't turn, but he is – if you watch him in press coverage, what he did against Mike Evans, he forced him to the sideline so there was nowhere for Jameis to throw the ball. I mean, he had him right up against the sideline. It was outstanding coverage, his tackling, his run defense. I mean, he is – for his first foray out onto the football field in an NFL game, only the preseason, obviously, it was very impressive.
Yeah, I thought the tackling was impressive. You know, it looked like at one point the runner would bounce a little bit and boom, he'd go right down. I mean, there aren't a lot of corners that tackle like that. I mean, and again, there aren't a lot of corners that big either, but I was really impressed.
Who does he remind you of that plays today, Pete, not back when no one was born?
You were born when Mel Blunt played.
I'm joking.
JP might not have been.
I was not.
I was, but, you know, who does he remind you of in today's era?
Boy, let me think. He's a better cover guy. I think he'll end up being a better cover guy than Sherman. But Sherman tackles. You know, I tell you what, it's hard to find a guy like that, Tony, when you compare. Because if you look at the Bronco corners, Tlaib's not a great tackler. He's a big physical, you know, but and Chris Harris is a smaller corner. You look at Josh Norman. He plays a lot of zone, doesn't play a lot of man. I think Ramsey will be play a lot of man and be able to play a lot of man. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to find a comparison to him in the modern game.
How big is Richard Sherman?
I think he's 6'1". I think, you know, it depends on what they list him at, but yeah. I think he's... No, he's 6'3". He's listed at 6'3", but he ain't 6'3". He's 6'2".
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the closest comparison right now for me, at least. Just
yeah,
the length and the way he can
Sherman
run.
Sherman doesn't go flop side to side and play the corner and play man. I think eventually Ramsey's going to be that guy. Don't you?
No, I actually think he can be. And I've been impressed the fact that he's transitioned to being the nickel and... And obviously the confidence that the coaches have that he plays outside on first and second down, play inside on third down. I mean, he has a lot of flexibility for a young guy, and you don't see that very often.
What's Revis's game?
It's funny because the game went – you remember they used to go to the – they went to the smaller corners, and then they went back to the bigger corners again. And, you know, so it come full circle because remember they used to be like the 5'9". Remember the two corners in Miami? They were little guys, Sam Madison and Surtain. And then the receivers got big again, so everybody had to go back to the bigger corners, which is why there's great value in that.
What's Revis's game? Does that compare at all?
He's smaller, though. That's the only thing. Yeah, I mean, Revis is a pretty good tackler, too, and a great cover guy. In his prime, he was, anyways. But Revis is only 5'11". That's a different type of corner.
So the Jags defense shut down Jameis Winston. He was 3 for 10, 28 yards, that touchdown and the interception. The Jalen made his presence felt right away. Second play of the game was the 6-yard tackle for loss. And a really impressive play against
DeMar Dotson, the big right tackle, 6'9", 325, whatever he is, pulling around. And he beat the block, fended off the block, played it perfectly, and then got up the field and made the tackle. I mean, that was... Big time play by Jalen Ramsey. I mean, number one, if you're an offensive tackle, don't ever let a corner do that to you. You get your hands on him and you take him to the sideline, you ragdoll him out of bounds. But for whatever reason, Dotson didn't do it, and Jalen played it perfectly and made the play.
Yeah, that was you don't expect that from a corner like that. And that's why he has a chance to set himself apart from some of the others. And I mean, what is he, 6'2", Jalen Ramsey? 6'2", 210, 200?
Yeah, 6'2", 210.
I mean, Mel Blount was 6'3", 200, I think. So he was a little bigger. But that's Mel Blount had a big advantage back in the day because he got to beat people up down the field. You know, it's different. It's a different game now. But that's who he reminds me of. And I'd ask anybody who doesn't know who Mel Blount is, go to YouTube or whatever and find some Mel Blount film, and you'll see how good he was and what kind of player he was.
We're giving away tickets right now to the U.S. soccer match against Trinidad and Tobago, September 6th. Call in now, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. First caller gets a pair of tickets to the game September 6th here at Everbank Field. We'll look at the injury report and a possible return for a key offensive lineman. That's next. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank this Sunday. The Jags host the Cincinnati Bengals. Congratulations to Josh Welker, the winner of a pair of tickets to the U.S. soccer match against Trinidad and Tobago coming up September 6th. We have another pair to give away in the second hour tonight, and we'll take your calls coming up as well, Tony.
Hey, before we get to the run game in the offensive line, Pete, I know you saw this because you retweeted it on Twitter. How about Aguayo? Already seeing a mental coach? Is that correct?
Oh, my God. That's all I can say about that. And, you know, Tony, when that pick was made, we do grades on the first, second, and third round of the draft, and I gave it a giant F right from the start.
Didn't they
traded up to go get a kicker.
Didn't they trade a third and fourth rounder to get back up in the second?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is when I went over there in May, I told Jason, well, I have known Jason for a long time, I said, Jason, I gave you an F. That's a terrible move. I flat out told him. And I heard through the grapevine that the owners wanted the kicker pick. Now, nobody would verify that, but that's what I heard. It's a terrible pick because, first and foremost, the difference between the best kicker in the league and the middle 15, like the middle, say the middle of the pack guys, isn't that great? It just isn't. There's so many good kickers nowadays. There's the significant difference isn't enough value there to use a second round pick on him. And now the kid's sounds like he's in the jar already. I mean, you're two preseason games.
Well, and the hard part is, I think you set up a kid to fail when you draft a kicker in the second round because the expectations are so high that it's almost impossible for him to live up to them. I mean, it's like when they drafted Brian Anger in the third round here. If he didn't average 60 yards a kick, I mean, it was deemed a failure. And I think that's the same thing. Now, the Raiders picked, Seabass, Janikowski, in the first round years ago, and he's still a Raider, and it's worked out. But still, probably, I think everyone would go back and say, probably still not a great pick using a first-rounder or a second-rounder on a kicker.
I mean, look, Gostkowski is considered, what, the best kicker in the league or one of the best right now? He's 91% last year. You go down the road, there's so many guys are 87, 89, 93, 90, 93 again, 88. Just so many kickers are right there with them. There's not that much difference. There really isn't. Now, you go outside the, 50, but that's, you can't count on those. I mean, Blair Walsh made six of those last year. Robbie Gould made seven. And some kickers made none. I mean, so I just think it's percentage-wise, the difference between 1 and 15 isn't worth a second-round pick. It just isn't.
Yeah, and it's not a good sign, like you said, Pete, when you're already, after 2 weeks of preseason, going after to get psychological help.
But I agree with you. Drafting them that high puts a ton of pressure on those kids. The only one that's really handled that very well is Janikowski.
I just get the feeling he doesn't care much about anything.
No. He lives here.
Yeah, great. I mean, I've played golf with him. Great guy.
Good golfer?
He hits it 1,000 yards. And
did you beat him?
It was probably 5 or 6 years ago, Pete. I have no idea.
That means you didn't.
That's a no.
Yeah, you're probably right. If I don't remember, I probably did lose. You're right.
You never remember the losses, Tony. You always remember your wins.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like you never remember all those times Ryan Robinson beat you, but you remember all the times when you beat him.
Ryan Robinson only beat me twice in his entire life out of 100 rounds.
Former Jags PR guy, of course, now with the University of Tennessee. Let's touch on this run game, Tony. We moved away from it so quickly. You wanted to talk about it earlier. Ivory Yeldon again the other night. A couple of bigger runs. I think Ivory had a 10-yard run at one point, something like that.
I mean, there's
a couple games in a row like that.
The most impressive thing to me is the movement the offensive line's getting and the way they're blocking and getting to the next level. I mean, the physicality of this is just night and day compared to last year. Remember the preseason last year, they couldn't run it a yard. And it was a big issue last year to put even more pressure on Blake. If this team can run it, I'm not saying they need to be a run-first team and run it 50% of the time or anything like that, but the threat of running it and being physical like that is going to make that passing game even that much more dangerous.
I think Yeldon looks quicker, more decisive. Sometimes when you get a first-year running back in the league, the cuts aren't as decisive as they should be. And to me, he looks quicker and more decisive in his runs. And the other kid is a violent runner who actually pops through holes better than he gets credit for. I mean, everybody talks about Ivory as a guy who's going to blast you and hit you, and he does that. But I think he's a better runner than he gets credit for being because he does play such a physical style.
He is going to bring a nastiness to this team that I think is going to help it so much. He is such a physical guy and just finishes every run with you better be ready to tackle that guy when you come up because it's not going to be pleasant. It's going to be a painful experience because he's going to deliver the blow.
Before we get away from the offense, right now, you had to play the game and Beecham's in the lineup, okay? Where is the weak spot?
I don't think you have one.
Right. It's not that you got greatness at every, or even above, or really good at every spot, but if you got to pick a weak spot of that offense, if Beecham's at left tackle, Joakim's at left guard, the line is as it is, Marquise Lee is the third receiver, and the running backs are healthy. Where is the weak spot?
That's why I said, Pete, I think they'll be, if they're healthy, they're a top five offense.
They might be. They might be. And I tend to agree. The more I watch them, the more you get to feel that they can be dynamic when they want to be, they can be explosive when they want to be, and they can pound you when they want to be. And that's, to me, that's all about offensive football. You want to score, you throw to score, you run to win. You throw that ball all over the place, you get your lead, and when you're up 14, then you start blasting people and wearing them down. And I think they have the makings to be that kind of offense.
And that's why I think it's so critical. I mean, the development of Blake and the decision-making process is probably the biggest story going into the regular season. And what excites me the most, because you see the better decision-making from him in the pocket and at the line of scrimmage and everything else, because really if he can limit the mistakes, I'm with you. Oh, and by the way, Nick Foles was 27-2 that year, Pete.
That's garbage. I mean, that's an accident season, and that played out that way.
But I'm not saying, I still want him to push the ball down the field, and he's going to take chances, and there's going to be interceptions at times. But if he can limit those, this offense is going to be, and they stay healthy, is going to be really, really good.
Hey, Tony, and on the All-22, Mercedes Lewis was right there wide open, too, when he hit Yeldon, wasn't he?
It was a protection where they were solid backside, meaning the tight end was staying in, and his guy did not come, so he kind of snuck out late. But the right decision was Yeldon. He could have got to Mercedes. I don't know if Mercedes scores just because of the angle and where he was and how his body was positioned, because he was able to throw it to TJ on the run, and Mercedes would have received the ball in a stop position. But he was backside as well, and he snuck out after his blitzer did not come.
I wonder if he's supposed to even do that, because he almost looked like he was getting in the way a little bit.
No, typically if you have a solid protection with a tight end staying in, if his guy does not come and the tackle does not need any help, you want to treat him as a
right.
check down player as
but,
well.
But wasn't Yeldon, they were almost in the same area right there.
Yeah, a little bit. They were closer than you probably want them to be, but they are both check down because Yeldon was checking the backers first. They did not come, and then he ran a little angle route through the middle of the offensive line.
Yeah, see, I would think that they would run him, one maybe Mercedes more to the sideline, and then let him come out on the angle route. That's, let him drift to the left a little bit more, get him out of the way. But that's me. They look like they were in the same area to me. On the TV, they did anyways.
When we come back, the Baptist Health Injury Report and your calls. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Tony is waiting for your calls.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Hour two of Jaguars Monday underway. JP Shadrick, private Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Frisco. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get to the injury report. A few new names this week after the Bucs game. Jeff Linkenbach in the NFL concussion protocol. The offensive lineman. Peyton Thompson is also in the NFL concussion protocol. And hopefully that's nothing too serious for either one of those guys. Thompson is the guy right behind Tashawn Gibson at that free safety spot. Nick Marshall with a hand injury. The medical staff is continuing the diagnostic process, we're told. Avery Jones with a right quad contusion. He'll rehab the next few days. Devon House with the same thing, a right quad contusion. And Roy Miller held out of the game with a quad strain. And he's questionable to return for the remainder of the preseason. Why would you throw him out there? No need to.
Well, you might. I mean, listen, I think Sunday's a big game. I mean, a big opportunity. I mean, it's preseason still, but it's national television. You're playing against arguably the best team in the AFC with a ton of talent.
Patriots?
No, I think you could argue.
Bengals are better than
them? I think you could argue right now that the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. And Pete and I talked about it last week. If they don't blow the end of that game and they get Andy Dalton back for the rest of the playoffs, they might have been the one playing in the Super Bowl.
That role.
And you know what?
I mean, they almost beat the Steelers with the backup quarterback. Let's not forget that. That's how talented
that
team is.
And And, Tony, they almost beat the Broncos on Monday night in Week 16 with a backup quarterback and went to overtime. Remember, they were winning at the half.
So, with Andy Dalton, I mean, that is a really good team. So, and if with Avery beat up and you're, you know, and who knows with Michael Bennett, what's going to happen there, and I don't expect to see Sheldon Day with the back. Maybe we will. I mean, I don't know anything. If Roy can go, I'd play him. I mean, now, he's got to be healthy. I'm not going to risk anything because it's still preseason, but I just get a sense this is an important preseason game for this group. A young team, I think this is if you can come out offensively and do what you did the last two preseason games and you play a half and you can get 21 points, 17 points against this Bengals team, and defensively, you know, it's a 17-14 game and I think that gives you a ton of confidence going into the opener with Green Bay because you really tested yourself in the closest thing to a regular season game where both teams are going to be game planning this week. You have a full week. It's a Sunday night. It's on national television. I do think it's important.
I agree with you. I think when you look at that team last year, and I was up in Cincinnati last week and spent time a couple of days there when they were working out with the Vikings. I'm with you, Tony. Talent-wise, they're better than the Patriots. The difference is the Patriots have Tom Brady. I mean, but talent-wise across the board, you go across their defensive line. They're loaded. I mean, you're going to see that. You talk about getting the workout. Michael Johnson, Dunlop, Geno Atkins. I mean, it's a heck of a group. The linebackers. Now, Burfict's not playing, but the linebackers are really good.
When does Burfict come back?
Talent, he's got the suspension, remember? So he's going to be one of them. They've been sitting him out a lot. So,
it's one game, right? Just one game.
Yeah. So offensive line, Tony, they're loaded on the offensive line. I think the center stinks. That's the problem for the Bengals is their center stinks. But you're right, they have talent. And you want a name to keep an eye on this week, Tyler Boyd, the rookie wide receiver from Pittsburgh, he's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. When I was up there, I talked to A.J. Green about him, and A.J. Green said, look, he stepped in. He understands how to run routes. He knows how to, get open. He's going to be a big-time player for them.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Tony, your favorite portion of the evening when Mac from the north side calls in. What's up?
Pete Kirkko, 2016, back in the house. What's up, Pete?
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Tony.
What's up, Mac?
Hey, Tony.
What's up, Mac?
Why is Dante Fowler? Dante Fowler should be playing every snap, the whole game for the Jets in the book. I don't think he plays the whole game.
I think he needs more reps than he's gotten. The first week I was fine. It's the first preseason game, and he hasn't played a lot. And you don't want to just throw him out there and let him get his feet wet. But I'm with you, Mac. I disagree with the whole game, but I would have liked to see him. I thought his reps on first and second down were fine, but I'd like to see him get a bunch of reps on third down to rush the passer.
I agree with you. I think he needs to get more playing time. And I understand you got to be cautious a little bit because he does have the coming off the knee injury. But what was it? How many snaps did he get, Tony? 12, 10?
Yeah, 12 to 15.
It's got to be more like 20. I mean, at least. And this week I think he'll get 25 maybe.
Yeah, got to get him on the field. Hasn't been on the field much at all.
Before we go to the next call, Pete, do you agree with me that this third preseason game is more important for the Jaguars than maybe a usual third preseason game is this year?
Yes, because it gives young guys like to show what they got, and this is an opportunity to show the whole league what you have. I mean, you're on NBC, right? It's NBC this week.
Yep, yes.
I don't know. Who's doing the game, by the way?
Tirico and Collinsworth.
Yeah. So you got the two, Tirico's not going to be allowed to do the games on Thursday, but he would have been doing Thursday night games.
How about that? I mean, come on.
That was a bad decision by the league. Bad decision. Al Michaels can't be happy about that either at 71. He didn't want to do both games. But, I think it's good to show who you are to a national audience, and it's 7 o'clock national TV. There haven't been a lot of games on national TV so far because the Olympics, they didn't put them on yet. So now this is the week when they start getting on. So I think it's big for Jag. I agree with you, Tony, 100%. You can't go out there and lay an egg, then everybody will just say, "Oh, you're the same old Jaguars." If you go out and you look good, and you look nasty, you look violent, you look physical, you look fast, you look athletic, your quarterback makes plays, and all of a sudden everybody goes, "You know what? that team's for real, and they're going to be a factor in that division.
It's just confidence. I mean, confidence is so important in this game. And with a young team, I mean, just look at some of the matchups. I mean, you know, A.J. Cann and Luke Jokel, if he gets that left guard reps against Geno Atkins, you know, the ends are very good. We talked about them. The matchup of Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Green, I mean, great opportunity there to get out there and get reps. So I'm excited for it. I just – with a young team, if this team starts believing they're good, watch out because they're talented. And confidence is an amazing thing. Now, confidence begets confidence. It kind of rolls on, it keeps on rolling. And it's when you lose it, it's tough to get it back. But when you have it, man, you can beat anybody. And you walk on that field and believing you belong and knowing you belong and knowing you're going to beat that guy across from you, it changes how you play the game.
I agree 100%. I think it's a situation where you get the swagger and you know that a big, tough, physical team is coming in and you can mix it up with them, then you get that swagger. And young guys start doing that. You know, one thing that has to stop, though, is when you have the swagger, you can't cross the line and commit the penalties. That's just dumb. And they got to cut down on it. You know, it's like Rex Ryan's teams. The Bills had led the league and tied for the league lead in penalties last year. They're out of control. They have a ton of penalties in the preseason. They go across the line. That's because Rex allows them to go across the line. I'm not saying Gus does, but Gus has to rein the young players in a little bit. They got to cut back on the penalties.
Back to the phone lines. John on the south side. What's up, John? John, hello.
Yes.
You're on the air. What's up?
Okay, so my question comes out about Frisco said they shouldn't be stunning him in the middle, but the only time he had any success was when he stunted towards the middle and got a head start, because he's not a guy that can engage with the tackle. He's a speed guy. He's a freelancer. He needs just to run around and make plays, because once you get your hand on him, it seems like it's over and you can't disengage. What are your thoughts?
I disagree with you. I disagree with you 100%. He's going to have to, like Tony said last week, you got to learn that your up-the-field move is your number one move, and then come underneath and then bull rush him. But he can engage with a tackle. I disagree with him 100%. I know you do too, Tony.
Yeah, if he can't engage with a tackle, then we maybe should find a different position for him. I mean, that's what defensive ends typically do. They go against the offensive tackle. I think he can. I think he needs more reps. I think he needs to get a better game plan when he's out there. I think he needs to work on his rushes and how to set up an offensive tackle. It's all new for him. This is not what he did at Florida. But he has the ability, and he's got very few reps. It's going to be a process. And I know we all want him to be a 10-sack guy the moment he walks out there, and I do ultimately think that's what he's going to be. Maybe not this year, but that's what type of player he is. But it's going to take time, and that's why I go back to he just needs more reps.
Let's stay on the defensive line. You know, there was a lot of talk the last week or so about the play of Cedric Marks, the first couple of weeks of the preseason and training camp. He maybe was a little slow coming along. But what do you make of his game against the Buccaneers? It was a little better looking overall, I thought. What do you think, guys?
Pete, go ahead.
I thought and I didn't watch the 22 like Tony did, but I thought there was more push inside. I thought he was more physical. He looked more athletic. That wasn't the guy we saw in the first preseason game, that's for sure. So I don't know if it was just he was working against the twos, I think, a little bit. But
no, he was with the ones a little bit.
Yeah, but even so, I thought he was much different on the TV tape. Now, you watched the All-22. Did it look the same?
I think it started in practice. I thought he had two very good days against the Bucs. He looked quicker. He looked more explosive. Looked like his legs were underneath him. And I thought he made some really, really nice plays. Penetration up the field, very disruptive. It was more of the Cedric Marks of old. And he still has some football left in him. And where 2 weeks ago it was kind of like, man, is there going to be a spot on this roster? He keeps on playing this way, he will be the backup three technique.
Well, and the day situation might end up helping him a great deal, too. I mean, I think he, right now, if you had to guess, he would make the team, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, a week ago, we were talking about that there was a chance he wouldn't make the team.
Yeah, no, that's my whole point, Pete. You're exactly right. And with the day thing, it's the back. We don't even know how severe it is. I mean, backs with a big guy, you never know. I mean, he still has not been on the practice field. I don't know if he was on there today. Is he on the injury report, JP?
Well, there's no official injury report, but he has not practiced in a while.
Yeah,
so
It's obviously
they weren't on the field today. Players were.
That's right. They're off today. It was obviously a significant enough injury where it's kept him out almost 2 weeks now, and or 10 days probably.
Yes, close to
So, and not only that, but Sen the last week has played well. It looks like his legs are back. That's the only thing I can explain it. I mean, his quickness, his power again, and if they can get Sen playing the way he did 2 years ago, well, now all of a sudden on third down you got him and Malik Jackson rushing, and you got Ndakwe and Fowler and the rest of the crew outside. It creates some interesting opportunities.
Audric did some decent
things. Yeah, Audric's been playing well. He's had a good camp, Pete. He really has.
Yeah, I think defensive line is gonna, you know, if the pass rushers get it going, and I think they will, I'm with you on that, they have a chance to be pretty darn good up front. And they're going to cut a good football player.
Yeah, I thought Malik looked good again this week. He had a nice rush to start the game. I mean, he is a big, powerful guy, and he is a nice addition to this franchise so far.
Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Phone lines are open. We'll get to some more calls coming up. We haven't talked much Miles Jack at all. What did you see out of Miles the other night against the Bucs?
An explosive, great in space, still at the Mike linebacker. You can tell he's hesitant sometimes, overruns some things at times, learning that position. But when he's in space, he's a special player. I'll go back to it. I've said it, and I'm like a broken record, and I could be dead wrong, but if it was me, I'd find a way to get all three of them on the and make him an outside linebacker. I think him in space is where he's going to be best at right now. Not that he can't be the Mike one day, and not if something happened to Puzz that he couldn't go in there and play Mike. He is just a dynamic athlete, and Pete's been saying this for years, and I agree with him. It's a space game. You need space players. The best defensives have a lot of guys who can run and cover a lot of ground and be in coverages and play man underneath with the tight ends, and gives you so many opportunities when you can have athletic guys at the linebacker level, and that's what he is.
Tony, he looked to me, okay, the play on Winston, he just showed his speed on that play. That was unbelievable. Now, he should have kept him from a first down, but it was a great exhibit of how fast he is. But it looks like on the some of those inside runs and stuff, he has a tendency to, like you said, to split second, and then he allows the guy to get his body on him, and instead of reacting quicker. And again, that goes back to that stupid rule at UCLA. I mean, the kid wasn't even in school last year, and he wasn't allowed to come here until the end of the summer. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that's one of the several dumb rules that the NFL has with it's really not the NFL, it's the CBA, I guess, with rookie players. But, yeah, I think that's affected him. And, I mean, and again, he's another guy who sat out all of last year. He got hurt at the beginning of the season. He hasn't played a lot of football for a while. But what, you know, it's the same with Dante. What he has and Dante has and you know, all these guys that they started bringing in here, they have what you can't coach, and that's speed and explosion and quick twitch and just football instincts. And Miles Jackson will be a very good player.
I think he's going to be terrific. And once he gets his feet under him and, like you said, understands how you can't just be a bullet and go overrun plays and stuff, he's going to be really good. And down the road, he's going to be a Bobby Wagner-type middle linebacker, I think.
One more call before the break. We go down to Middleburg and say good evening to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. What's going on?
Well, I'm driving home from work, so just want to give you guys a quick story and get your feedback on this.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm driving Uber right now. I'm in between jobs. So Thursday night, I stopped by the Hyatt Regency, and I picked up a young man who's about 6'5". I'm not going to mention his name, but he plays for the Bucs. And you guys are talking about confidence and looking at the Jags. And one of the guys I'm curious about is Fowler, of course. So to cut to the point, this player, let's just say he's not an offensive lineman, but he's about as close as you can get. You can figure it out. So this guy told me that during that game, I'll clean it up for you, he said that basically Fowler's a pansy. He was crying the whole game, and they kicked his butt up and down the field, and that's why he got so upset. What do you guys think of this guy, this Fowler kid? I haven't watched a lot of preseason, but he looks a little light. I'm curious about his confidence and his motor. What do you guys think of this guy?
All right. Thanks for the call.
So I think he's probably talking about practice, because after the game they went back to
right,
camp.
Right.
Who did he talk to?
some Bucs player. Sounds like a tight end or somebody.
Yeah.
Probably Safarian Jenkins is my guess, 6'5". I'm just guessing. I mean, I could be dead wrong. I don't really care who it is. Listen, Dante Fowler has a lot of energy. He plays extremely hard. A lot of good players that I've been around, when they're getting blocked, aren't happy and start complaining. And that's kind of like what they do. I mean, that's what defensive players do. My goodness. I mean,
no, offensive players are perfect. They don't
no, but every time I block, you know, I can tell you multiple guys' names that I'd be blocking them, and all they do is cry the whole game. Oh, you're holding me. Yeah, it's like, man. It's like, shut up.
Name them.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Do it.
No.
Give me one.
Like who?
No, I'm not going to name names.
It's way in the past.
I don't care. I'm not. I don't kiss and tell, JP.
Bruce Smith complained.
Bruce did not like being blocked.
There you go. So we got a name out of you.
There's one.
He did not like being blocked.
How about another one?
And he was, but my no.
I bet Jason Taylor complained.
No, Jason just talked the whole time. Even when you're blocking him, like he was winning.
I want a big time complainer. Give me the biggest complainer you ever played against.
No, I'm not going to do it because my whole point of saying that is, first of all, I don't take what an opposing player says to mean anything. And Dante Fowler is not a pansy. Let me just tell you that right now. He's a tough physical guy that's learning to play a new position. So
Tony,
I don't take anything, whatever,
Tony,
whoever it was.
You're going to tell us who it is.
No, they all are, Pete. That's my point. Every one of them.
Nah, but there's different levels. You just said Jason Taylor talked the whole game, but he didn't complain. So who was the complainer?
Well, they all complained that you're holding them. I mean, every one of them.
Well, who was the biggest complainer?
The biggest.
I'm not really trying to avoid it. I can't.
Yeah, you are.
There's not one guy who stands out that complained more. I mean, every player. I remember in the Pro Bowl we're playing one year, and I had to play right tackle, and I'm blocking the late Reggie White, who was just a monster of a man. And, you know, he had that patented hump move, Pete, where he'd throw up the offensive tackle like 50 yards, it looked like. He'd just throw him to the ground. And I went into the game saying, and this is actually when in the Pro Bowl we played still. It was actually a football game. And I told myself, I'm not letting him do that to me. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, but he's not throwing me because I'm not going to be embarrassed in front of my family, and I'm not doing it. And so he tried like three times, and I wouldn't let him do it. And he kept on complaining. I was holding him. I said, Reggie, I'm not going to stop either. I'm going to hold you. And he tried to speed, and I blocked him in. And then he bull rushed me and about blew my Achilles out trying to stop him. it didn't work very well. So but they all of them, Bruce used to, you know, complain I was holding him the whole game. You know, no-name guys complain. I mean, if you block them, they complain. That's what they do.
Well, for a while there, you had your dancing shoes on because you were dancing around the question.
No, I really wasn't. I was trying to think of one guy who was the worst. There wasn't. I'm just – my whole point is defensive players, when they get blocked, complain.
I just want to let you know that your foot is outside the locker room. You can.
No, Pete, I will tell you. I don't care. But, Pete, you know this. You've been around this game long enough. What do players do when they get beat?
They bitch and moan. I get it.
That's
I know
what they
what you're
do.
Talking about.
Is J.J. Watt a complainer, Pete?
I haven't. You know, I haven't asked that question. That's an interesting question. I would think yes, because you know what though? Come to think of it, when you watch the tape, if he thinks he's getting held, he flails his arms to the official and complains.
Oh,
but
they
yeah,
all do,
complaining.
Pete. I mean,
yeah.
So I mean, whoever I can't remember the caller's name who was driving Uber and picked up a Bucs player. I don't really
Matt
care.
In Middlebury.
Matt. I mean, Matt. To answer your question, Dante player is going to be a heck of a football player. He's a tough dude. He is a physical dude. He doesn't like getting blocked. And you know what? He had a bad 2 days, and he got frustrated. All of us have been there. Every single one of us. I've been there. Things aren't going well. You get mad. You think you should be playing better. And you know what? Sometimes what you want to do is just fight somebody. That's what you do. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. That's what happens.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi of Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details. Call now. Another pair of tickets for U.S. soccer against Trinidad and Tobago. First caller in, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. You're heading to the game September 6th. More of your calls coming up as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Congratulations to Rob Riva, winner of a pair of tickets to the U.S. soccer match against Trinidad and Tobago September 6th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Third preseason game coming up Sunday night here at Everbank Field, an 8 o'clock kickoff on NBC, a nationally televised game. And after that game, the first round of cuts, guys, down to 75. And you'd think, though, they've got a pretty good idea of at least the first run of cuts.
Not on. There we go. I did what I said. It's embarrassing, Joe. Pay attention, please. That's our producer who messed up there, guys.
What'd you say, Tony?
What I said is you can go down to 53 right now.
All the way to 53.
Oh, you can make them. I mean, I bet you anything if Dave and Gus could sit in that room right now and make the cuts. Now, there might be a couple questions because of injuries. You know, you're waiting to see where certain guys are and maybe some IR decisions. But the majority of them, at least. You could get down to 55, I guarantee you that, I would think. I mean, I just think, you know, this game, the majority are going to be starters, so those are the guys playing. You know, some of the second and third teamers will get some reps in this, you know, half a third and the end of the fourth. But, I mean, don't you think, Pete, I mean, right now, Dave knows who's making it, who's not, outside of injury?
Yes. And, I mean, there's some questions like, what if Beecham wasn't ready to go? You got to keep an extra tackle, you know, an extra lineman. But, you know, yes, I think he's only going to keep eight linemen, though.
Don't you? So who are the eight? Who are the eight they're keeping?
It'll be the five starters.
I think it's nine.
Do you?
Yeah. Go ahead, give me your eight, and I'll tell you who I'm going to add.
The five starters.
Okay.
Wells.
Okay. We won't be ready week one, but go ahead.
Which is why you might need to keep nine. Reed.
Okay.
Shatley. There's eight right there.
If Wells was healthy, I'd agree with you.
So who's the ninth in your group?
I think they might keep Omame, who can play guard.
How was Bernadel on the tape last week?
He was all right.
I thought he was okay.
Yeah, too. But I think you already have that. I think Shatley's better, and he can play guard or center.
I think you need another
tackle until Wells gets up, and I think it's Omame.
Omame makes it. So that's pretty easy to cut.
I mean, that's my guess.
You know, the defensive line's easy to cut if Dave's not able to go. I think it's really easy to cut.
I think they probably keep 10, at least 9.
Does Alualu make it?
Depends on Shelvin Day, I think. I really do. I think you only keep two Leos, because I think it's going to be Ndokwe and Fowler.
So right.
That's two. You got Roy, Audric, and
Jones.
Malik Jackson. So that's,
and Avery Jones.
You're at five. Avery Jones is six. Send Derek Marks is seven. If you keep 10, then you keep Day, Alualu, and Michael Bennett. If you keep 9, you have to.
It comes between Michael Bennett and Alualu.
Because Sheldon Day, unless you put Sheldon Day on IR because you don't think his back's going to be ready, and then those two make it. I think ultimately that Ryan Davis or Dan Scuda will be your third Leo.
Doesn't linebacker come down? The only cut would be between Tripp and Poulard.
No, I think they both make it.
You do?
I think you keep six linebackers probably. Now it depends on how many D linemen, but it's going to be Scuda. It's going to be Poslusny. It's going to be Telvin Smith. It's going to be Miles Jack. It's going to be
Ryan Davis.
Oh, then you're right.
So then if you're going to keep seven, are you going to keep seven linebackers?
No, you probably only keep six. Hayes or Tripp, whoever's the better special teams guy.
Right. And who do you think is?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't watch the teams close enough. To be honest with you.
Poulard plays on all the teams. I don't know. Does Tripp?
I'm not sure. Poulard is the better inside backer. Tripp gives you better athleticism and better coverage.
Okay, so that cut comes down to one of those two.
Yep.
The secondary cuts. you got to keep an extra one early in the season because of Colvin.
Yeah, it's going to be Grotz. I think the corners are going to be Makamura,
Ramsey,
House,
and Grotz.
And Grotz, Colvin on.
And what about Nick Marshall?
And Nick Marshall. I think Nick makes it because of special teams.
He'll make it, and then if Colvin comes back and he's not playing well at all or anything.
Then it's either him or Grotz go.
Yeah. And then the safeties are that's easy. It's
Peyton
Cyprian.
Peyton Thompson.
Gibson.
And then depending on the health of Sample, it's Sample or Josh Evans.
Right. So one of those.
If Sample's healthy, then it's Sample, I think.
And the receivers are easy?
No, I think the fifth receiver is, I think, tougher than I thought originally. I think it's Brian Walters or Aurelius Ben. I think it comes down to which one of those is better on special teams. Because that's the only reason you kept the fifth guy. The fifth guy is simply for special teams.
And then the running backs is.
I think that's
four.
Done. I think it's I think it's Grant. I think it's
Robinson.
Robinson, Ivory, and
Ivory
Yeldon.
And then the quarterbacks is all three of them.
Unless you can get Brandon Allen on practice squad.
I don't think you could though.
You think someone would pick him up?
Yeah, maybe not. But
yeah, I don't think they would. Actually, Logs convinced me of that. Logs convinced me that he thinks, why would you keep Brandon Allen when you probably can get him, keep him on practice squad. And then tight ends, that's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, you have Mercedes and Julius Thomas, but after that, Ben Koyak.
Don't you keep Jacobs, though?
Jacobs, yeah, I think because he's a big mauler. And then they do like the kid from, Arkansas State or Alabama State or wherever he's from, Bowman.
Oh, he's from South Alabama.
South Alabama, somewhere around there.
Yeah, maybe but you close. Could practice squad him probably,
yeah,
too.
Probably, I think so, too. So, I mean, we just went through it and made the cuts pretty much down to 55.
It's easy. Right now, there's not a surprise guy to make the team.
I agree with you.
There might be a surprise guy or two to not make the team, though.
But, I don't know. Who would that be?
I mean, like a guy like Tyson.
Like an Arlo Alden, maybe.
Somebody
yeah.
like that.
But with Sheldon Day, I don't know how. I mean, it's a lot of questions there. Where is how's his back? We don't know. I mean, we don't
know.
How
bad is it?
Pete, no,
they don't. They're almost 2 weeks.
Haven't been out there almost 2 weeks, but they don't have to tell us anything, so we have no idea.
Well, what's the scuttlebutt on it?
Nothing. It is seriously quiet, which is. I mean,
I don't know if that's good.
I don't know if it's good or bad. You take that as maybe it's worse than anyone's saying. They don't want to talk about it, or it's no big deal, and no one's talking about it.
You know, the interesting thing about that is as that relates to inside the division, J.J. Watt's dealing with a back issue, too.
Yeah, I'd be fine if he missed the whole year.
Did you see they lost their center for a while? Nick Martin, the kid from Notre Dame, was going to start out. They don't
what
have
happened?
The right tackle. I forget. I think it was a lower leg or knee or something. But then you got... the right tackle's not working because he's coming off injury, and the left tackle's not working.
How did Osweiler look in the last preseason game? The stats obviously look better than week one.
I watched it. He looked okay. He looked better. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He looked better than I thought he would look.
Is he the worst quarterback in the division, Pete?
Yes. Yes. I mean, yes, no doubt. But he's not awful, and I'll tell you what, some of those young receivers like Braxton Miller and Will Fuller both looked good the other night.
They got a lot of speed.
Yeah, they got talent, the skill people. But I worry about them on both lines now. You know, because Will Fork stinks now; he's not any good. They lost Crick. Clowney looked good the other night for them, but. I don't know. I don't think they're as good as everybody's making them out to be, and their schedule's brutal too.
We'll come back and go around the National Football League. We'll go through that Texans schedule as well. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Thanks for the calls tonight. We'll go around the league when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Andrew Shattuck, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, glad you're with us on Jaguars Monday. Got to mention this Friday night, the Bold City Ball here at Everbank Field, the U.S. Assured Clubs West, to benefit the Blake Bortles Foundation, Bold City Brigade, a fan group putting together a big five-year anniversary party for their group. That's Friday night. Go to boldcitybrigade.com/BCBball for your tickets. Tony, I know you'll be there, right?
Yeah.
I'll be there for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Oh, dear.
The Jaguars are a 1.5-point favorite over Cincinnati on Sunday night.
You saw Ryan O'Halloran's tweet.
Yeah, that's one I just read.
Wow.
Do people actually bet preseason football?
Degenerates, yes, they do.
I mean,
I don't know how.
How do you bet preseason football?
You got to figure out who the quarterback is, the second string quarterback. I don't know. It's a mess.
I mean, you really got to be hard. I mean, desperate for some action or something. That's crazy.
Let's look around the National Football League. Pete, you wrote about the Broncos quarterback situation on CBS Sports today. Simeon's going to start this week. Sanchez around there. Paxton Lynch, though, is the guy at some point, it sounds like.
Yeah, and in watching that game, you know, when I went to Denver 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I talked to both Kubiak and Elway, and I, you know, John, you can talk to John a little bit away from the microphone and away from the recorder, and I said, John, come on, really, with this kid? And he goes, no, he's legitimate. And so I said, I thought you guys were just pumping him up during the offseason. So I sat and watched practice, and he's got a big arm. He understands their offense. He puts the ball accurately in the spot. Then he comes out the other night, goes bing, 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 right down the field, looks good. And then in the next series, he throws a pick six that totally predetermined where he was going with the ball. So I still think he's going to be the starter to open the season now. I thought it would be Sanchez. I don't anymore. Sanchez fumbled and lost two fumbles last week. So I think Simeon will open the season. But at some point, Paxton Lynch is going to play early for the Denver Broncos.
How does he look? I mean, Paxton Lynch is, what, 6'5", big old athlete, rocket arm, can run, I mean, can fly. I mean, reminds you of a little bit of a young John Elway, not as talented or heralded as John Elway was coming out of Stanford, obviously, but John Elway was a big, strong, fast, rocket arm quarterback. All the traits that they talk about with Paxton Lynch. How does he look, Pete, when you watch him practice?
He was wild the days I was there, but again, it was his first couple of practices, and since then I've heard he's really settled down, and he looked good the other night. I mean, he puts the ball, you know, he wasn't great, but he puts the ball in the spot. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, it's a howitzer. He gets, and you mentioned Elway. When you talked to Elway, you saw the little, you know, the gleam in his eye. It was almost like he was talking about himself. And you know, they always thought that Simeon / Sanchez would be the bridge to getting the quarterback that could be sustainable success. And it might happen sooner rather than later. He's got talent. And you know, in Kubiak's offense, you got to be able to move, and he can move. Like you said, he's athletic. So I think it'll be Simeon to start the season, and it might end up being Lynch at some point in the season.
So by the time the Broncos come here to Everbank, December 6th, I believe it is.
It could be Lynch.
You think it'll be Paxton Lynch?
It could be Lynch. And, you know, Tony, I like playing rookie quarterbacks. I like that. The only difference is this team is coming off a Super Bowl and has that defense, so you might not do that right away, whereas if you were a bad team, you might do it quicker. But, again, if he gets in there in week 8 or something, and they're like, you know, 5-3 or whatever, he's got that defense and that running game, and they want to do that zone blocking to kind of take the pressure off him and let him go in there and play football. So
it's not like they had, hey Pete, it's not like they had great quarterback play last year when they won the Super Bowl.
No, they didn't. But they also were a half away from not making the postseason either. Remember?
Oh, I do.
The Broncos are in here December 4th, week
14. Sorry.
A couple days off. Don't want to.
I knew it was that first week of December.
We touched on the Buffalo Bills issues earlier in the penalty front, but they've got issues with players not on the field either. Marcel Darius suspended 4 games.
Went to rehab.
He's in rehab.
Checked into rehab.
Shaq Lawson and Reggie Ragland, 2 rookies, suffered major injuries. And then Pauly tore up a knee. He's gone. Carlos Williams released by the Bills. 4-game suspension. Showed up overweight. A lot more than just penalties going on in Buffalo, Pete.
And Rex Ryan's job is on the line. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He went there last year, bragged about how great the defense was going to be, and it regressed. And this is a guy who's had as many defenses in the bottom half of the league or the bottom 10 of the league as he's had at the top 10. I mean, he's kind of overrated. And you look at his teams. Like I said, last year they had so many penalties, it was ridiculous. And then he's got all these discipline problems, and injury problems and everything else. I think this is a year, if Rex Ryan doesn't win, he's fired and probably won't be a head coach again.
Well, he brought Rob, his brother, and they should fix the defense with that. I mean, it was
outstanding
in
New
Orleans. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, defense. He was great. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. I mean, and he's another one. I think he's had one team that he's coached on that had a winning record when he was the defensive coordinator. And yet, they're Ryan, so they're brash. They talk a lot. And people think that they're great coaches. I always thought that they were kind of overrated, and I'm kind of convinced of that. And you got to rein it in at some point. You know, it's one thing to be your buddy with the players and your player coach and all that stuff, but you can't allow stuff to get out of control. And I think at times they let it get out of control.
Pete, does Carlos Williams, who got cut, cleared waivers, kid has talent. I mean, does he get a chance again? I mean, he is. I mean, he scored, 9 or 12 or 10, I mean, a bunch of touchdowns last year.
He keeps eating. He's going to be a guard somewhere. I mean, you got to keep yourself in shape. I mean, he's gotten out of shape, and that's not a good thing. So somebody will give him a look-see, don't you think? But why didn't anybody claim him today?
I think, probably because he has that 4-game suspension still, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So they probably said, what's the point? And get him pretty even cheaper. I don't know how much cheaper he can get. He's still on his rookie deal.
But he was pretty good last year.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he's a good player. He's a talented running back. It would be interesting to see if he gets another shot.
You got to love the game, Tony. You know that. If you don't love the game, you're not going to be successful in that game.
NFL officiating crews used an 8th official over the weekend. I honestly didn't even notice it.
I did.
How'd it go?
Too many dang flags here. I know that.
I like the 8th official. I think the game is too fast for 7. I'm a big proponent of the 8th official. I they only did it for this week, but I think that's something they ought to look into for a full-time basis. It makes sense to have the 8th official on the field.
Let me give you two things I want to see changed immediately when it comes to officiating. One, the new point of emphasis where if a coach steps on the field, they're going to throw a flag is too much. I mean, there has to be some grace period. I mean, guys get excited, a big play. If they come out 3 or 4 yards, who cares if the play's over? They give a player a high five, go talk to him. I mean, they were throwing flags on that, like, left and right on Saturday nights. Too much. I know it's the Joey Porter rule. Make the rule if you can't go past, 10 yards, or you can't go to if it's a dead ball and you're past the number. I mean, something. But not letting a coach step on the field even a foot, otherwise you're going to throw that flag, is ridiculous. Stupid, Pat. I mean, just dumb. And then the other thing is, sooner or later, Pete, this league needs to get to the point where the hitting a defensive receiver above the shoulders in the head or neck area is a reviewable play. It is too bang-bang, and I don't blame the officials because it's hard for them to do it, and they're going to err on the side of calling it. But you see it too often where a defensive player does it right, and because it's so violent and it's so bang-bang, they still call it. That should be a reviewable play, and let them look upstairs. It would take 30 seconds to see if it was head-to-head contact or arm-to-head or whatever. And it should be called where if the offensive player lowers his head, it's not a penalty. It would actually make the game safer, in my opinion, because it would take the knee shots out and it would give these defenders a chance. That has to become a reviewable play. They miss it. It's a coin flip when they call it because it's so hard for them to tell.
Yeah, I like that too. I think they should go upstairs with that either because they do in the college game to see. They don't go to check the play in the college game. They go to check whether the guy's getting thrown out of the game. But I think they could easily take a break and check on those plays. Did you think that was a penalty?
The Peyton Thompson one?
Yeah.
He misses with the head. He actually tried to put his head, but it looked bad because his head was down, so it was almost like he was spearing him even though he missed it. His right forearm hit the tight end pretty square back in the back of the net, back of the helmet. So,
thought it was.
By the rules, that was called correctly. But there was another one, and I just watching the NFL throughout the years and preseason and everything else, it's too hard of a call. It's too hard for those guys. I don't blame them. And if you ask them, I was talking to one official, they want it. They want it to be reviewed. It's too hard. They can't get it right.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. I think they need to review that.
We'll come back in a moment, our final thoughts, and we'll continue our look around the National Football League. By the way, the Jags-Packers game sold out of single-game tickets. The only way you can get in for the Packers game September 11th is to purchase a season ticket package. Visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. We'll wrap it up after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. The Jags and the Bengals coming up Sunday here at Everbank Field at 8 o'clock kickoff. Tickets available. 633-2000 number or visit Jaguars.com. The final home preseason game. Then the Jags are back home September 11th to face the Green Bay Packers. We continue our look around the National Football League. Former Raiders quarterback Todd Marinovich was found naked with marijuana in Irvine, California. 47 years old, cited for trespassing, possession of controlled substance, drug paraphernalia, and possession of marijuana. Remember, there was a 30 for 30 on him and his dad. What was that, a year or two ago?
I played
Mark
with him.
Mark Marinovich. Yeah.
You played with him.
His dad was a nut.
That's yeah, right. I played with him, yeah.
He had talent.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Sad story.
Really a sad story.
Obviously,
I mean,
this guy hasn't overcome the addiction.
Remember, he couldn't
issue.
Eat a Big Mac, or his dad drove him crazy when he was a kid. I mean, you know, that's one thing. Sometimes you can drive a kid way too much and try and, you know, push him, and it could set him off the wrong way. That was just, it's terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, it's more than just not eating Big Macs. I mean, he obviously has an addiction issue that he's battled it off and on and was clean for a long time, and obviously he's struggling again, so it's
Did you see the mugshot?
No.
Terrible.
Really
it's awful.
Is it online?
Yeah, you can find it. Doesn't look Tony, when you see it and you played with him, you'll be astounded. Doesn't look anything like him.
When he played, though, I mean, when he was on, he was legit, right?
Oh,
he had talent. I mean, he was a lefty, and he had a lot of talent. He could sit there and make the throws.
That was like there was a UCLA game or something where he just lit him up.
Yeah, I lit him up. We won it. He threw it to Johnny Morton for a touchdown with about 2 seconds left. So
were you on the field?
I was a true freshman. I was on the sidelines. I got in trouble that game because we all ran and celebrated, and we all had to run on the following Monday because we almost lost the game for us because of the penalty on the kickoff.
Who were you playing behind on that team?
Pat Harlow.
Yeah, he was a good player for the Patriots.
First-round draft pick.
Yep.
New injury reporting rules for the league. They've eliminated the term probable and have expanded questionable and doubtful. Does this change? It was like 95% of the players listed as probable played anyway. I think that was the reasoning behind it. Pete, what do you say?
Yeah, but there's going to be – all it's going to do is open it up to more shenanigans by the teams. You know, I always think guys fudge on the injury report anyways, but now you can really fudge on it.
Yeah, you know, it's you look at it towards the end of the week to see kind of what's going on. But Brady was listed on there for how many years in a row, and was it was healthy as a trout.
Well, if you're probable, I mean, if you're technically you have a nick or something, I mean, you're most likely playing, but you never know. You're day to day.
You know what's funny is for years, the reason they made the injury report was because the guys used to bet and they didn't want to get any the wise guys to get inside information and stuff. But now, and you know. There was a lot of betting and stuff, but there wasn't as much interest in the injury report. But now with everybody playing fantasy, the injury report has become, like, on Sunday morning, you know, who's active and who's not is a huge thing now because of fantasy football.
Yeah, that's changed a lot around here. I know Tony Buscelli's a huge fantasy football player, right?
Yeah, I enjoy fantasy.
Yeah, you know what he does? He lays in his bed and he dreams about those days when he used to block guys for a living. That's fantasy football for Tony.
That is fantasy. I enjoy that fantasy much more than...
And unfortunately, fantasy football for Tony is not putting on that gold jacket in Canton. That's unfortunately fantasy football, too, because it needs to happen.
Well, we'll see, Pete. You never know.
And you know what? Like I told you last year, you're gaining momentum. So hopefully 1 year of momentum,
well,
no
you're
more
out,
tackles out there.
You're the one out there beating the drum, so I always appreciate it.
Brick by
yeah,
brick.
Sometimes I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall, but because there's a lot of guys in that room that have no earthly idea.
Steelers guard Ramon Foster is urging players to begin saving money for a potential work stoppage after the 2020 season.
First of all, 70% of the guys playing right now aren't even going to be playing in 2021, probably. Holy cow. 5 years from now? I mean, right. I mean, give me a break.
Come on, Ramon. You know better than that.
And the best was they're going to be, the work stoppage is going to be based on the drug policy. Okay.
Yeah, no, the work stoppage will be based on free agency and money like it always
that's
is.
That's it. So you're telling me that whoever, Andrew Luck at that time, will be making $40 million a year. And the quarterbacks have the most sway. So you're going to go to Andrew Luck and say, hey, listen, we want you to miss a $3 million paycheck for about 3 or 4 weeks because we want to smoke more weed and don't want any tests. Sounds good. Let's do that.
If Roger Goodell's still the commissioner, I'm going to miss my $3 million a week paycheck because I don't want him standing over the discipline. I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Let me tell you something. I highly doubt they'll ever, unless it just the owners get so greedy and pushy on the financial side of it, which they're smart enough not to do that, there'll never be a work stoppage in football ever again, in my opinion. Because the reality is it's a short career, you only get 16 opportunities, and there's too much money, and you'll never, ever get that money back if you're a football player. I just don't think it ever happens again, Pete.
I tend to agree with you. How the other side of the media is, they all think that that there's gonna be a work stoppage no matter what.
Are you gonna worry about
something 5 years from
now?
Come on.
No. I said it back when when there was the lockout and it went all the way to the 11th hour, I told everyone, I said, they'll play football opening day. They're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I guarantee it. They're not missing checks. And the players at the 11th hour got what the best deal they possibly could and gave in on what they weren't going to get done and went to work. I mean, the only way it happens where there's a work stoppage is the owners push back and get so want such a big piece of the pie that the players have no choice. I mean, to the point where the pie is so big that now the salaries start going down in the NFL, which the owners are smart enough, they're not going to do that. I mean, guys are not going to, because guess what? 98% of the guys don't care that Roger Goodell has all the power. They don't care.
Right.
It's inconsequential. I mean, you know what? And by the way, 5 years from now, the league might realize, saying, guess what? If we can get more bigger piece of the pie and that's the piece we have to give up to do it, who cares?
Okay.
It causes us a bigger headache anyways. What does it matter? Ramon Foster said, didn't he say it's going to be around the drug policy?
Yeah, the drug policy, league control of punishment, post-career care, insurance, all this stuff.
Post-career care, they get medical funds. I was talking to one ex-player who retired long after I did. He basically has a medical fund that pays for his insurance pretty much if he manages it right for the rest of his life. Now, I don't know how it is. I don't know if that's years in service or how that works. But trust me, the benefits are 1,000 times better than when I played. And that was just from the last CBA. I don't see players not playing for those type of reasons.
I agree with you.
Pete, you said if Roger Goodell is still the commissioner.
Five years is a long time. 5 years?
That's a long time. It is.
Yes.
We might be all flying to work in cars. I mean, who knows? I mean, 5 years from now?
Right.
I mean,
who knows?
Might be cyborgs playing football. I mean, heck, if some of the if some of the media gets their way, there won't even be football.
Right.
If some of the media gets their way, which I find ironic because half of them, that's how they make a living, and there would be no job for them, and all they want to do is badmouth the league. And I want to shake them and say, guess what? You'll be writing children's books if you go down this path so long, because there's going to be no sports. I mean, come on. What do you think moves the needle in America around sports? Everything's around football. I mean, my goodness. So some of the media people need to wake up too. I know, Pete, you can't say anything because you're afraid of you're afraid of offending your brethren.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. I rip those guys all the time. They're out of their minds, half of them. And it's almost like they want it to go away.
Give us names, Pete. Give us names.
Freeman.
Yeah, saw that one coming.
I love that.
Doug Farrar from Bleacher Report, Sports Illustrated. Who else?
Oh, you're the best. That's why I love Pete. He does not care. Just does not care.
Who else, Pete?
I'm trying to think. Who else, pal? Oh, Jim Trotter. Who else? If you give me enough time, I can think of a bunch of them.
I like this. Tony, you can only think of one. We gave him the name.
Well, Pete's the best. He doesn't care.
And you know, if I was standing in front of him, I would say it right to their face, too. I don't
true.
Care.
If Pete would have been a football player, if he wasn't 5'3".
5'6". Give me my prop.
Oh, 5'6". You just look 5'3" from my angle. Pete would have been, a defensive back or a quarterback or a wide receiver or something, and would have been so brash and so dang arrogant, he would have made T.O. look humble.
No, I would have been an offensive lineman, and I would have been Richie Incognito.
I was trying to give you more athletic ability.
Not without the crap he did, the other crap, all that other crap. But I would have been, because I would never do that to somebody. But as a player, you're dirty, nasty, physical. Yeah. You know.
I say a lot of bad things about Pete, and I mean most of them. But Pete, I can't disagree with Pete there. Pete has a little bit of edge to him.
Yeah. That's true. Jaguars Bengals coming up Sunday night. You're coming, Pete, right? You coming?
I think I'm going to Tampa to watch RG3 this weekend, so I don't know if I'm going to come back.
Goodness
and go.
You're going to go watch what?
The Browns and the Bucks.
Well, I want to see RG3, so I might go over there.
What night do they play?
Friday, but I'm not going to go to the game. I don't want to go to two games.
Okay, Pete, you live here. You go to the game Friday. I know you're not staying in Tampa all weekend, and we don't play till Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I could sit. Why go to the game when I can sit in my living room and watch it?
Fair enough. Yeah. Come hang out with me.
Or listen on the radio, Pete.
There's no room in that booth. You got about 80 guys in that booth.
No, pregame. We could solve all the world's problems before the game.
You know, Tony, you got 80 guys in your booth now.
Well, I've lost a lot of weight, so there's more room.
There is a lot more room in there now. Three skinny guys.
Well, two skinny guys, one skinny fat, Frank.
Pete Frisco, Tony Buscelli, for Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Pete.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.